I'm Tony Cox, and this is News and Notes. Basketball season is up and running, and so is rookie football sensation Adrian Peterson. Barry Bonds threatens to boycott his own Hall of Fame induction. And when will Notre Dame's nightmare end? Those are some of the issues hitting the sports blogosphere this week. And here to talk about the headlines is Gregory Lee, the online sports editor for the Boston Globe. Also, Dee Will, who writes for the blog Sports on My Mind. And Jamila Hill, she writes for ESPN.com. Welcome, everybody.
Hello.
Hey, how are you doing?
Jamila, did I say your name right?
No, you kind of butchered it.
All right, let's get me straight. Well, say it for me.
Okay, it's Jamel, actually.
It's
and
Jamel.
I'm upset that Greg Lee didn't correct you because he knows me as well as anybody.
Okay, well,
I was waiting for Tony to take care of that.
I wanted to get that straight. And that actually leads me to another question about you, Jamel, because you're writing for ESPN and ESPN.com, and I understand that you are celebrating an anniversary right now because you've been at ESPN for a year. Is that right?
That is right.
Okay,
I think the official date might be November 13th, so I think it's next week. But it's hard to believe that I've been there a year. A lot has happened, and I've certainly enjoyed my time there.
They treat you right?
They treat me good.
They
treat
you
me real good. Oh. If they didn't, I know Greg would get after him as our esteemed president of the NABJ task force. So,
here's my other question for you, though, is this. Do you, and I apologize for not knowing this, but when you write, is your photograph attached to your articles or columns or bloggings at all?
Yeah, usually it is. It's usually attached to my columns.
And the reason I ask that is this. If it weren't there, do you think people would be able to tell that you were female by the way that you write and what you write about?
You know, that's a good question, because even with my picture being there, there are times that people still email me. It happens pretty much with every column I write, and they call me man or good job, dude, or, you know, I hate you, man, or whatever. And then I have to sort of, you know, I have to say, oh, you can still hate me, but I just thought you should at least know my gender, because my name is probably, you know, you can't really tell because there are guys named Jamel. So
that's true.
It can be a little confusing, and you never know where your story is linked from, because they may not. Somebody might post my column somewhere, and they may not post a picture, so they don't know. But I would like to think that they wouldn't, you know, because it's not like, you know, I'm writing about, you know, good housekeeping and making a cheesecake or anything. You know, I'm writing about, like, hardcore sports.
I feel what you're saying. And before I bring the guys in, one more question about that, along that line, because as a woman and a sports writer and a sports blogger, how does gender play in terms of either your approach, your word choice, your topic choice, if at all?
Well, I don't think it plays that much with me and how I approach things, although I'm probably sensitive to certain issues because I am a woman, and sensitive to another set of issues because I'm a black woman. You know, certainly what Don Imus said was more impactful with me because I felt like he was talking about me. You know, he's talking about my sisters, you know, so how am I not going to stand up for them? The other side of that is that I think my gender and race probably carries more emphasis or notoriety with readers and viewers, because they just don't see a lot of that. It's not a lot of black women that are on TV, and certainly not a lot doing sports. So to them, it just kind of stands out. And, you know, when people really hate a column that I write, I mean, they don't have any shyness about pulling the gender and race cards. But, you know, you get used to that. I've been used to that for like 10 years, so it's no big deal.
Well, welcome to the roundtable. We're glad to have you with us today. Dee Will, let's talk about this. Barry Bonds says he's going to boycott his own Hall of Fame ceremony unless they erase the asterisk from his record-setting home run baseball. Now, as you know, hip-hop clothing mogul Mark Echo is the guy who bought the ball, and Echo asked fans to vote on it. We all know what all of that was about. Here's the question. Could there be a Hall of Fame induction of Bonds without Bonds being there, do you think?
I don't know that there could be. I'm not a Hall of Fame voter, for sure, and I haven't really talked with anyone who is a voter, who has a vote. So I'm not really sure what the rule is about that. Maybe Jamel might know, because I know she talks with many people at ESPN who probably do have votes. I don't know what is curious to me is that the asterisk is even allowed on the ball.
Well, what about that?
Yeah, because I guess just to clear it up, they can still vote him in, but he doesn't have to show up for the induction. I mean, if whether he shows up or not, or whether he acknowledges or not, he's still in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, Greg, we haven't forgotten about you. I'm coming to you in just a second, so don't worry. We're not hating on you. But Jamel, you have spoken with the Hall of Fame about this issue. What do they say about the ball, the asterisk, and whether or not Barry will show if he gets it?
Well, it's something I plan on writing about for tomorrow, but their response, to be honest, was pretty weak. And actually, I also contacted Mark Echo's people, too. And the Hall of Fame's response, their position is the significance of number 756 outweighs the defamation that they'll accept. So they think it's such a historic ball, such a historic moment, that they're willing to sacrifice what I think is the basic principle of the Hall of Fame, which is to preserve history as it happens. Because the problem, if they accept this asterisk, then they have to explain why the asterisk's even there, which I think is unfair to Barry Bonds, because other than him admitting in, you know, leaked testimony that he didn't knowingly take it, he didn't violate any rules in Major League Baseball. So they're bringing in a whole ball of wax where they don't need to. And right now, to me, they're letting a guy who clearly is in this for marketing to pump his name up, to even attach himself to a great moment for nothing other than selfish motivations. They're letting him dictate what a museum should do. And as I said, you know, on air and ESPN, this is like letting a cosmetologist decide what could be in the Library of Congress. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Let's bring our till now silent partner, Greg, in on this. Greg, what do you think about this issue with Bonds and the ball and the hall?
Well, I just think that, as Jamel mentioned, Barry Bonds he didn't do anything wrong. That's the bottom line. If that's the case, there's a lot of players in the Hall of Fame who've done some wrong things, but it's not mentioned next to their name in the Hall of Fame. It's just the bottom line. It's just, the Hall of Fame doing this, it's just wrong. It's against what, the debate. If you're going to do it to Barry, do it to other people who has done a lot of wrongs too as well.
Real quickly, Greg, also because you were in Boston and the New England Patriots are looking as if they may go undefeated over the season. Miami Dolphin coach Don Shula first said they should have an asterisk if they do it, and then he backed off of that. It's not a big a deal probably as the Barry Bonds situation, but what's the reaction been to that in New England?
Well, I think the Patriots fans, of course, here, they are very upset by it. But the thing that is mind-boggling is that people keep giving the Patriots fuel to make them even more angry than they are right now after what happened with Spygate. Bill Belichick is coaching with a chip on his shoulder, and the team is playing like, they're questioning our integrity, and they're playing harder. And now with Don Shula, making it seems like he's an old, wash-up coach, bitter that his record could be gone. And all it's doing is fueling more of the fire for the Patriots. And you know what? I think they could go 16-0 just based on people giving them more, fire for them.
Let's talk fire. There's some fire in Minnesota. His name is Adrian Peterson. He's running like crazy, 296 yards against the San Diego Chargers last weekend, a new single-game record. He's only he's just getting started in the NFL. D. Will, this guy is really something, isn't he? And by the way, he makes extra money every time he breaks a record like that.
Right. Yeah, he's an interesting running back to me in that people have strained to find comparisons to Adrian Peterson, and I don't really even see a comparison to him. He's a purely 21st century running back who is a combination of many things. He's much faster than most running backs that I've ever seen, as powerful as the most powerful running backs that we've ever seen, and his ability, his sense of running is unparalleled. So should he stay healthy? He's got a beautiful road ahead of him.
The thing that really impresses me, Jamel, about him, and I want to get your thought, is that he's running on a team that doesn't really have any other real weapons. It's not like they have a strong passing game, so people know to key on him, and yet he's still delivering.
Yeah, that's really impressive because they've had issues at quarterback all year. You pretty much know what you're going to get, and for him to have that kind of record-setting days, or two, really, if you count his other 200-yard game, against the NFL defense, I don't care who they are, is amazing. And I don't think I would have said – I know I wouldn't have said this. I thought, LaDainian Tomlinson was pretty much, in a position to be the top running back, the guy you take over anybody else for – you know, a good 5-7 years. But now, to be honest, if that question was on the table, who would you take, you know, LT or Adrian Peterson? I got to go with AP now because he just exhibits a kind of power and strength and just a fearlessness. You know, LT trucks people too, but Adrian Peterson is on a whole new level with how physical he is with people.
Don't you think we need to watch him a little longer to make that kind of
now,
comparison?
You know what? It's all about upside too. You know, he still hasn't learned some of the things that LT has learned, and I think in his prime he will be better than LT is in his prime, which is, I guess you could say, right now.
All right, here, another topic for you as we bring our sports bloggers roundtable to a close. This is good stuff, folks. Here's the issue. How sad, if at all, do you feel, any of you, for either Notre Dame or Charlie Weiss? 1-8 record. Notre Dame is just so deep into the toilet, they might not ever come out this year. Is it a situation in which he deserves a certain amount of sympathy, or is this comeuppance for him and for the program?
Okay, I was having this conversation with my boss today, and I'm a believer in karma. And Notre Dame, for what they did to Tyron Willingham, and based on the precedent they set for previous coaches and getting rid of Tyron Willingham before his 5 years was up and giving him a shot, and then giving Charlie Weiss a new contract, an extended contract after 2 years of coaching with Tyron Willingham's players, and then for the team to fall on his face right now, Notre Dame's getting what it deserves based on what they did.
They will.
I have to agree 100% with Greg. And as a matter of fact, maybe Charlie Weiss is getting all the karma for Videogate from the Patriots.
Yeah, that's a good way to look
at
it.
That's a good one. I never thought about that one.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
That is true.
Well, or you can look at it this way. Maybe he really wasn't that good a coach and was helped by Videogate.
Right.
You know, and maybe what we're seeing is Charlie Weiss without the videotape.
And he had lots of questionable play calling last week, and they lost against Navy, which really made my boss mad because his daughter goes to Notre Dame. So really set it off in the office on Monday.
Well, you know, there must be something, and we got about a minute left, so I'm going to bring this to you, Jamel, because it's your anniversary and because I screwed up your name in the beginning of the segment. You can make comparisons to Nebraska and Callahan, but you don't hear the same thing coming out of Nebraska. It seems as if they know that he's going to be out. Tom Osborne is back running the show. But I don't get the same sense of outrage there that I do over Charlie Weiss.
Well, you got to look at the monetary investment. I mean, they pretty much, I think it was $10 million. That's a lot of money to give a guy who still hasn't won a bowl game and who still hasn't really beaten, I don't think he's beaten any top 10 teams. And I'm sure his,
right.
Off the top of my head, I'm pretty sure his record against top 25 teams overall is probably pretty poor. I think what upset people about Charlie Weiss is that they gave him that deal when he had the same record as Tyron Willingham.
That's
and it
true.
Just yeah. seemed to me, and why people call it racist, is because there was a benefit of a doubt given to Charlie Weiss that was never extended to Tyron Willingham, even though their records are pretty much the same. For some reason, he got the genius tag, and Tyron Willingham didn't.
He got the door.
I'd say he's doing,
and that's what we and that's what we've got to do.
Job at Washington.
We've
got to
hit the door. We've got to hit the door because our time has run out. I want to thank you very much, Jamel Hill, D. Will, Gregory Lee, joining us for the Sports Bloggers Roundtable. See you all in a couple of weeks.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.